Bing, bang, bong. We're back again, and I'm bringing it to you, Jack. Are you ready for it? You sat comfortably?
We're going to be baking bread, baby.
Baking bread. So, I'm going to be giving you the recipe, the five ingredients to build your own opener. There's a lot of talk out there of what opener should I be using? Should I be using this opener, this pattern interrupt? Some people are starting to tell me, I've heard that one everywhere. I've heard that opener everywhere. And there's a lot of copying going on. But imitation might be the best form of flattery, but imitation doesn't necessarily mean you sound as good as the person you're trying to imitate.
Am I agreed. Right? I agree so much. We were talking off air that you can deliver the same cold call opener that somebody else that you've seen on LinkedIn or YouTube or whatever, but you can sound like a bloke that builds shelves for a living. So don't be that bloke. Build your own opener. It's not a shelf.
Exactly. I remember the famous Benjamin Dennehy opener.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, the sales call, would you like to give me 30 seconds to hang up? I was trading a guy and he was like, I'm using Benjamin's opener. It's not working. And I said to him, well, the difference is Benjamin sounds like a cheeky New Zealander. You sound like a supply teacher from Shropshire. And he's like, ah, right. Okay, shit. Okay. Right. And then got it. So context aware, right? So let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
5 points, right? And actually, the first point is the setup, which is called context aware.
Okay. Right?
So framing the opener of the call in a way that acknowledges the reality of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm going to start the call with giving the kind of upfront reality of why I've called. What do you think the reason is behind that, Jack? You can hit us with a bit of the psychology there.
The upfront honesty, like it's like I always go back to the 4.7 kind of Amazon review, like being disarming, going in there and saying like, listen, I might not be the tidiest chef in the kitchen, but I probably make the best souffle. All of a sudden, because you're admitting to maybe a fault or you're being upfront and honest, people are more likely to trust you. And what we're trying to do when we're cold calling definitely is build that trust quickly. So upfront, honesty, admit something, I think it's always strong.
Yeah, exactly. So the obvious one, the one that everyone knows, and let's see if we can think of some different ones here, Jack, between us. The one that everyone knows is, hi, Jack, I'll be honest, it's a sales call. Or, hi, Jack, you're going to hate me. Or, hi, Jack, you weren't expecting my call. Yeah?
Hmm.
Now, if we were to think outside the box, John, I'll be honest, you're probably guessing right when you've recognized it's a number you don't know. That I'd be context aware. I'll hit you with some honesty straight out of the gate so you're not sat there wondering who I am. John, you might think this is an interruption. John, this could be the worst or the best call of the day. Are you willing to roll the dice and find out? Those kinds of things are acknowledging the context of what's happening. So they're situationally aware. Now, those ones we talked about, they're kind of the ball buster openers. Aren't they? Other ones might be, oh, I'm really struggling with something. I was hoping you could help me.
Yeah,
or even,
tricky task.
I'm calling... Yeah, tricky task. Exactly. Like, even if I was doing one of the first campaigns that I did was for Panasonic, and I used to say, I'm calling from Panasonic. This obviously might be the part where you tell me you hate Panasonic and you don't want to speak to me anymore. Oh, well, no, what's it about?
I also like, I've been asked to give you a call because that sparks curiosity. John, a bit of a weird one. I've been asked to give you a call, I guess. And then we're going to get into it. But yeah, that kind of upfront setting the scene, because nobody likes it when you say, Zach, it's Tommy here from Recruitment Expo. How are you doing? Are you well? Are you good? How's business? I'm like, I know what you're in for. Like, just get to the bit. I feel uneasy.
It's interesting that you said that, right? Because the uneasy bit is the how are you? How are you triggers a get on with it.
Yeah.
It's actually not naming, it's Jack from recruitment company. It's the how are you bit that makes me get my back up. If it was Jack from recruitment company, here's what I'm calling, you'd probably
something.
Be okay with that.
Because I also think for like the first couple of seconds anyway, I don't think the brain switched on. I don't think you're even talking to that chimp part of the brain. It's just a bit of a, that's why I do like you answered the phone, I go, that's not Zach, is it? Because you're still in that like, what? And then when you deliver your upfront honesty, whatever you're hitting somebody with, then they go, oh, now, oh, right, okay, now I can maybe digest this a little bit more. But I always go for the that's not rather than
me too.
Is that.
I'll give people at home a little bonus tip. If I was ringing Jack, I'd say, that's not Jack from We Have a Meeting, is it?
Mm.
Because it might be Jack, but he might not work there anymore.
Yeah.
And I might end up talking to him for 3 or 4 minutes before I realise that.
Get into it.
So just doing that first is a big thing. Right, so step one, ingredient one, base layer, setup. So context aware, think of this as relaxing the fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. Kind of getting to the point. Number two is the interrupt. So this is actually the thing that you don't expect to hear. And this might be humor, honesty, disarm, room to say no, all those types of things. Mm-hmm. The obvious thing here are, this is a sales call, this is a cold call, we don't know each other, this is one of those dreaded sales calls.
We've never
I'm
spoken before.
I'm officially breaking every rule by ringing you. You're the person I've always wanted to speak to. I might only get one opportunity. This is the point where you slammed on the phone on me. It's exactly what you think it is. It's actually a sales call. I'll admit it. This could be the least favorite part of your day.
Mm.
The key thing with the interrupt is it's something they've never heard before. It has some humor, some honesty, some room to say no in there. But the thing, I can't say this enough, that will be the difference between the people who get this to work and the people who don't is the personality behind
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. And you've got to really, really think about who are you selling to. Do you know what I mean? So you can if you're selling to a certain type of personality, you might not want to be like cheeky, chappy, go lucky. You might want to be a little bit softer, but you've got to think about your own tone. And I think your own tone will carry you on these calls. Like one little exercise I give people is record yourself. Say your opener, record it, play it back, critique it, do that again, over and over again. I always say, I like the analogy of like, you're a producer, so you know this better than anyone. But if you had like vocal takes, if I had your opener and I had 100 vocal takes, would the sound waves look the same? Or are you switching up every single time? Zach, it's da-da-da, da-da-da. And then the next time it's Zach, it's da-da-da. Like, find something that works for you. And once you've got it nailed, that's a repeatable process.
I try and get in the habit, and this actually keeps your brain sharp as well for people who are doing lots and lots of calls. Try and become the person you're speaking to and the answer. And the quicker you can do it, often the more effective you can be. Mm. So Jack could answer the phone on like a building site somewhere. Hello, who is it? And I'm going to go, Jack, I'll be honest. But Jack could also answer in a library.
Mm.
Could sound like that. He could be sounding like very technical, very analytical. And I could know that straight out of the gate. Hello, is Jack speaking? Jack, you're gonna probably hate me. So I get into trying to become the person I'm speaking to.
The chameleon.
The chameleon, exactly. So we've got so far. Step one, the setup. I'm setting up the punchline in a context-aware way. Then I've got the interruption, which is the bit they don't expect to hear, using humor, honesty, room to say no. Those are the three magic things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the energy shift is basically the reframing of the rules of the call. Right. And it's kind of in an ideal, we're going to have that with or without you energy to it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the bit where it's like, I'll only need 30 seconds. At the end of that, you can hang up guilt free. I'll never bother you again. Yeah. Would you give me half a minute to see if this even matters to you? I'll tell you why I've called. If it's irrelevant, we both save time. All I want is 30 seconds. If after that you think this guy doesn't know what he's talking about and I absolutely hate the sound of his voice, I'll disappear. I'll never bother you again.
Mm. I also think like contextual, like if you hear someone's driving, I think like if you can bring that humor in, like, listen, I can fly through it. And if it's not for you, you can throw your phone out the window or I'll just hang up. Do you know what I mean? Getting in there.
Yeah.
I also think that it's a nice little like bolt on is getting that. Is that fair at the end? Like a da da da.
Oh yeah.
Is that fair? What would that be fair? Because a lot of the time people are going to go, you're not asking for anything ridiculous. That does sound fair, actually.
No, exactly. My opener before the pattern interrupts used to go really well. I'd say, Jack, I'm calling from X company. Actually, and I'd interrupt myself. I go, actually, before I get ahead of myself, you've probably never heard of X company before. And you go, no, I haven't. Or yes, I have.
Mm.
And when you said, no, I haven't, I'd say, we're the only company that does X, normally solving these problems. And then I'd actually go straight into, when's a good time to show you? they pick a time or a date or say they're not interested, whatever. Let's say they were like, oh, no, that sounds quite interesting. I'll pick that. I'd interrupt myself and say, actually, getting ahead of myself again. Before I get there, I probably need to ask you some questions about why it'd be relevant to you. So the interrupt there is me interrupting myself. So the call doesn't feel quite as salesy as normal. Mm. It almost feels like I kind of don't quite know how to do my job properly. I'm getting a bit overexcited and ahead of myself. But there's something in that that makes it feel not like the normal sales call.
Yeah. And definitely if you're a bit clumsy or interrupting or you're kind of falling over yourself, people kind of want to jump in and go, well, listen, let me help you out. Listen, I'm the expert. You're the novice. Exactly. Let me guide you through this. This isn't how a sales call goes. Let me give you a bit of meat on the bone. Sorry. It's a Tuesday.
Can I just tell the people, you said novice then, didn't you? You didn't say I'm the knobhead.
No. I didn't say you were a knobhead. Yeah,
just to be really clear.
Novice.
Okay. Control is the next one, but this is almost like the illusion of control.
Mm.
Right. So this is the, to Jack's point, this is the, does that sound fair moment. So it's almost like having these little mini contracts, little mini permission, or it's just a little like permission to go kind of feeling to it. So the obvious ones are things like, I'll take 30 seconds now. If at the end of it, you're not interested, I'll leave you alone. Does that sound fair? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or am I right to tell you why I called, or do you want to have me tracked down and shot? Mm-hmm. Should we test if this even makes sense to you? It's totally your call. Should I keep going, or do you want to throw your phone out the window? Yeah? Mm. If you're interested, I've got my stopwatch ready to go. Yeah? So it's all those types of things. So you'll notice there, straight away, if you're thinking of it just in the ingredient, you can actually start thinking of different things that probably feel natural to you, and maybe you can mix it up a bit every time. You don't just have to say the same thing every time. So far, we've got the setup, right? I'll be honest, I'm probably going to ruin your day. The interruption. It's one of those dreaded sales calls. I know you're not expecting me. You probably hate the sound of my voice already. Am I okay to take 30 seconds to tell you why I called? If it's completely irrelevant, I'll never bother you again. Sound fair?
Nice.
That would be how up to that point would sound. And the last bit, that the step five, you touched on it before, is the kind of consistency element. So it's the difference probably between, in fact, Jack, I'll return the favor. I'll put things back in your world. You're a trained actor.
trained thespian is the word.
Yes, thespian.
Yeah.
So there's a difference, isn't there, when you've got your script in front of you and you're practicing your lines with Princess Jasmine.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and when you're on the stage. It sounds very different. But actually, when you get on stage, you've probably practiced that script a million times. So really, when you get on stage, surely it should sound more robotic and scripted. So why doesn't it?
Because that's where the flair comes in. That's where the performance comes in. Remember, you might have said that call opener 1,000 times, but for the other person on the end of the phone, it's their first time hearing it. So you've got to deliver it every single time. And this is why sales is tiring, because you kind of lose that energy, that kind of enthusiasm. Can you consistently be that person? It's very hard, though, to play a character your whole life, especially if you're coming to work and being this other person. So my advice would be, like, find what opener works for you and your personality that you're selling to. Maybe find a product that suits who you are as well, and find a company. Don't go to work if you're selling to plumbers and you sound like you've got a toffee in your mouth. Do you know what I mean? Like, go and sell.
Words?
Yeah, something sticky. Yeah, go and sell something that suits you, I would always say. Like, you don't want to fake it too much. I didn't know you.
I'm going to can I blast through my, these are the things that I've noticed that would make a massive difference to people.
Yeah, please, blast.
Like as in, oh, well, I'm kind of doing all that already, but it's still not really landing the way I thought it would do. These are the bits, right? Bang these bits in, you'll notice a big difference. First one, when I connect with someone, I sit forward in my seat like that. It's like they've got my attention. I sit forward and I go into like action mode. Yeah. But then when they are interested, I sit back. Now, the reason that I do that is sitting forward is performance. Sitting back is therapist.
Yeah.
And it triggers my brain. Body language is a powerful thing, right? you can do little things that change that as well. So if you smile when you deliver certain bits, you will notice it in the tone. They obviously can't see the body language, but the tone will audibly change. If I was listening to your calls, I can hear when you're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Delivering the punchline, if you're using you're probably going to hate me for this, delivering it with a little playful chuckle every time. Or like Jack said, delivering it like you are on stage, giving it that showman piece. Pause after saying this is a sales call, or delivering whatever kind of the honesty piece is, whatever the interrupt piece is. I'll be honest, it is a sales call. Oh, no. Let them like have that response to it before you go in. Slower than normal speech.
Mm.
So it feels authentic. The voice is an instrument. And you have things that you can use in it. You have the louds. You have the quiets. You have the way of going a bit more gravelly, of slowing things down, of speeding things up to sound more excited. Play with that so you find that natural cadence. And the key one is to match the energy of the person you're speaking to as mm-hmm. best as possible. And that will do two things. You obviously sound like the person you're talking to. Massive chance of success in doing that. But the second point is you will keep the brain sharp. If you know I've got to be like that person every call, you won't be able to just sit back and go into autopilot.
No.
Those are my bits.
I think they're brilliant. I think the pace is such a big one, like especially for like newbie salespeople, just like rushing through it. Just like they're so petrified or they're so excited. Just really, really slow it down completely. Like listen to it. Listen to it back. Are you going too fast? It should be a nice pace. Zach, I'll be so honest with you. It is a sales call. I don't know if that makes you want to drop kick your phone out the window or let me have 30 seconds. Completely up to you. Bang.
Yeah.
We're in.
Exactly. Done.
Bomb. You got a task right for us?
Yeah, I've got a task for you, actually. Right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come up with a new, unique opener.
Completely right. Unique.
Completely unique based on the recipe here. And I'm gonna just give it back to you so you've got it clearly. The setup. Context aware mm-hmm. setup. I'm gonna ruin your day, whatever that is. The interruption is a sales call. You weren't expecting my call, whatever it may be. The energy shift, the control, the consistency, right? I want you to voice note it to me, Jack, or Marco AR.
He works at Centrama.
If you do it to all three of us and it hits all three, we will all each individually give you £500.
That's where the money
only at. Works if you've done it to all three. Okay? So voice note your opener, 500, 500, 500 for the person who does it to all three. I've been Zach Thompson.
I've been doing Aladdin. Thank you for listening. Take care.